Mr. Gubin. Hello, beloved, and welcome again to a few moments of fellowship together as we look into the wonderful truths of the eternal God. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I trust that you will get your Bible or New Testament and look with us to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. It's a little short book in front of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we're discussing and thinking about spiritual warfare. But last time we had to spend the time thinking about the joy and the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Oh, beloved, how I long for you to know the Lord Jesus. How I desire that you would open your life to Him, that you would receive Him as your Savior, that you would know the joy, the peace, the precious forgiveness of sin. That's all available through accepting Jesus into your life and into your heart. He has the answer to every need of the human being, beloved, and He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think, we're told in the book of Ephesians. Now we're in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and let's get right into our study this morning. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Remember, we're talking about spiritual warfare, beloved, and there's much spiritual activity that goes on about you and me all the time. Many times we're unaware of it. Many people are not even aware of the spiritual influences that are impacting their lives and directing their steps, and they do not even know it. They're not even aware of it. But there's much spiritual activity in the world around us. The best illustration that I can give, or one illustration, is this station that you're listening to right now. There's many different people that are listening to this broadcast. Each individual has a receiver, and each individual is listening to my words as I'm speaking. And yet, I'm only one, and yet so many are having the opportunity of listening in. That's the way Almighty God is, beloved. God is one, and yet He's able to send His Holy Spirit, and He does send His Holy Spirit into the heart of every individual who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior. And the Spirit of God moves into our spirit to do that work of salvation. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit of God is the spirit of man. It's the Holy Spirit of God that moves in to do the work of salvation. And He takes up His abode and He lives within the spirit of the child of God, so that He's God's guarantee of our salvation. And so, beloved, He says, there are many other spirits in the world about us. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world, many false teachers who are under the influence of evil spirits. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every one that says that Jesus is come in the flesh, that He is Almighty God manifest in human form, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. There are many, many who deny that Christ came in the flesh and that He was God in human form. So many deny that. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come into the world, and even now already is it in the world. Paul, or rather John, is writing to believers, and he says, "Ye are of God, little children," because when we accept Jesus as Savior, we're born into the family of God. That's what the new birth is. It is a spiritual birth whereby we are made a part of the spiritual family of God. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the evil spirits, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Yes, beloved, we have victory over demonic spirits. We have victory over the evil spirits of Satan because of the Holy Spirit, who is greater and mightier, for he is Almighty God revealed within our spirit through the person of the Holy Spirit. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Who's he speaking of? The evil spirits. The world listens to the evil spirits. The world is under the influence of the evil spirits. That's some of the terrible and awful things that you hear of people doing to each other. They're under the influence of demon spirits who hates mankind and who wants to destroy and eliminate man, because God created man originally in his image and in his likeness. But we, beloved, verse 6, are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And beloved, if you know the Lord as your Savior, then you can say amen to what I'm reading to you and to what I'm saying, because you know that this is truth. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Yes, the spirit of truth is the truth of the Holy Spirit, for he is called the Spirit of Truth. That's who he is. He is the Spirit of Truth. But the spirit of error are those demonic evil spirits that are at work in the world about us. And so, beloved, we are of God, and we're to walk in love as children of God. Children of God are to walk in love with one another. And if you'll go with me to the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, we see where we're told to love one another. And last time, or a couple of times ago, we left off in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's just begin again with verse 1. It's been some broadcasts since we mentioned it. "Therefore," Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." That is, he's saying that we are to walk worthy of God's Holy Spirit calling and drawing us to Jesus Christ. We've been called to be a witness, to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And he said that you walk worthy of that testimony. That is, that you live in such a way that people will see Jesus in you, that they will see you're different from most people because Christ lives in you, and Christ is using your life for his glory. And how are we to walk? With all lowliness, our humility, in meekness, not in pride, not being prideful and arrogant, but humble and long-suffering, that is, patient, having much patience, forbearing one another, loving one another, showing forth love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, even to those who seem to irritate us. Pray for ourselves that the Lord will help us to love those who kind of get under our skin. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is, being united and serving the Lord together, not being in conflict with one another. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Yes, beloved, there's one Lord. Our God is one, remember, and one faith, that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One baptism, having to do with our being immersed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, God's undeserved favor, according to the measure of gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And this is speaking of when Christ arose from the dead, from the grave, and walked on the earth for 40 years, and then ascended back into the heavens. While he was in the grave, he went to paradise. That's what he told the thief on the cross. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he spoke to those souls in paradise, all the individuals that had believed in the Lord God from the beginning up until the death of Christ went to paradise, those that were righteous. And so Jesus went to paradise and spoke to those in paradise that he was God's Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, that is, was in God's plan from the beginning, for Christ to die for man's sin, because God knows all things. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew that man would fall into sin. But this was one way God could manifest his love, was for Christ to come and die in our place for our sin, that we might be saved and put our faith and trust in him and be brought into the family of God. And so those who went to paradise, Christ explained to them he was God's Lamb, who shed his life's blood, that through him they might have life, and that every Old Testament sacrifice was pointing toward his death, burial, and resurrection. Since then, we look back to the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and we're saved through what Jesus did there on the cross. So when Christ went back to heaven, paradise was moved into heaven. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 tells us that he went into the third heaven, into paradise. Until next time, goodbye.